All right, you guys, welcome to this episode of the Outrun Show. We are talking about how to be a great student. And in this episode, part two of three. And in this episode,
Hey, don't throw out a binary. It could be part, we could have four parts.
We could be done. So this could be your last chance at it.
It's just part two. We're just counting up.
This is part two for sure, though.
This is definitely part two.
Yeah. So in part two, we're going to be talking about how to be a good peer, how to be a good student with other students. And so we give you the best tips. You might even learn how to make some friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you do have friends,
this will definitely make you friends.
This will at least keep friends, right?
Oh, yeah.
At the bare minimum, this will keep your training friends. And if you're training with random strangers all the time, this will 100% make people want to train with you
more. Yep, exactly. Sure. All right. All that and more on this meat and potatoes episode. This episode.
I thought you wanted to split that.
Episode.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Next. You just say of.
Oh, of?
The Outrun Show.
The Outrun Show. We're chatting about we're on like a how to be a good student, right? And last time we talked about how to be a good student when specifically in relationship to like your coach. And now today we wanted to talk about how to be a good student in relation to your peers.
Yep.
Or how to be a good classmate or how to be a good peer, right? Obviously in the context of like a group class for parkour or for fitness, but now, I'm sure some of the things that we'll talk about can transcend the parkour class environment as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what does it mean? Let's establish the setting. So we've got a couple different settings. We've got like a classroom setting. We've got maybe like an outdoor like jam setting. And then we've got like, I like to talk about maybe travel because sometimes people travel in small groups and you're stuck in like a van or a rental or whatever with some people for a very long time. How do you keep that sanity?
Keep morale high.
Right, and morale high in those situations. So I'll kick off with class stuff. Do you want to talk about the road trip stuff?
Van stuff, yeah. I gotta collect my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, collect your thoughts on that real quick. So in classes, I think what I really love is when students are participating. But there is some focus. So even if that focus is a playful challenge, I like that. I try not to have this super strict mentality that comes a lot from martial arts. Like when I started training in martial arts, I remember my first martial arts classes, when you came in, you had to, and I think this was like Shotokan or something. My first karate cut class, like everybody has that little kid karate class, right? Was with a teacher who was very strict and traditional. He was a sheriff's deputy, but also it was totally some like, that's why I love Cobra Kai on that side of things, because it definitely like had Cobra Kai flavor all over it, right? Like this, you know, blonde like white dude who like has this dojo and he's like, here at Sheriff's Cobra Kai, right? You know, like, right? This guy's a sheriff's deputy and you know, had this like tough Irish name or something. I couldn't remember it. But you had to come in, and before you entered, you bowed, right? Before you step into even the wood floors, right? It wasn't hokey like Rex Kwando, but it was really like fun and serious. And then if you were late to class, you had to come to the door, and before you come in, you had to like do this like sequence of like bowing for being apologetic for being like tardy and stuff like that. And I just feel like right now there's nothing super wrong with the current condition, but it just is like, training as a consumer, you come in and you just get away with so much more than when things were that attitude, right? Like a consumer comes in, like a student comes in now and they're just like, hold on, I got to get my Lulu adjusted before I step in. And they're like, drink a water. They like check their like, you know, face and their phone. And then they come in, right? And it's just like, it's all about you, right? And I don't mind that now because it's like, whatever. Let's not be so serious. We're all adults just trying to move here. But I just think that's funny that has changed as like how you should be as a student, and then that transfers into how you interact with your peers too. Because the number of people that I have encounters with that will just come into class and have conversations with someone who's in a class, like actively in a class, like they're just like bored and they walk over and like, you're in line and I walk over to you. I'm like, hey, did you see the blah, blah, blah the other night. And then you're like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm teaching and trying to talk and like get an idea across that we have to do with safety or what the standard is, or just overall, like trying to feel like my time is somewhat valued. And like, there are like three side conversations going on. And I'm just like, don't be the person that starts a side conversation. Cause plenty of people who are like pretty benign would just, they're not going to have the guts to be like, hey, master's talking, you need to be quiet, right? Like, I'm not looking for that. It's just like, hey, how about if there's a class going on, let's know that it's a class and not happy hour, right? Yeah, so I mean, no happy hour.
It's tough because there is, you know, you want to encourage that like social aspect of students connecting with each other, mm-hmm. right? And obviously that's a big factor of why a lot of people continue with some sort of group class, right? Is that they feel connected to the other students in that class.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's pretty rude. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about that in the last episode about like, it feels so elementary because it is, you don't talk when the teacher's talking kind mm-hmm. of thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, it's tough as an adult sometimes because you do want to just like come in and chat
yeah.
with people that you like, you know, but as an adult student, you need to be cognizant. Yeah. That like, you're not just there for you. Right. Like, having that social interaction may scratch that itch for you, but like, you got to do it at the right time. And the peer that you're talking to may be actually struggling with this skill, right? And actually trying to listen to the coach as the coach is giving the tips and the safety and talking about what the technique is and how we apply it and where we apply it and what the drills look like, you know?
And more times than not, I'm talking with the intention of those things falling on the ears of someone who needs that attention, and someone who doesn't need it has the feeling like, oh yeah, I've already done this, so I'm just gonna, hey Justin, blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, Justin's the one that needed to hear this. I know you don't need to hear it because maybe you've got the experience, but Justin's the one that needed to hear it. So you're taking from him his ability to learn and get better at the technique, and then potentially creating an environment where it's less safe, or you just don't. It's just not as good of a learning opportunity.
Well, yeah, like sometimes coaching is talking to the crowd for one person, right?
Yes,
because I mean, you can and often will give individual cues, but sometimes it's like, it's embarrassing to call out a single person and be like, hey, Justin,
it
and because you know, you got a weak upper body, you know, because you got them little spaghetti arms, I'm going to have you working on this drill, right? But it's a lot easier to tell the group to be like, and, you know, if you guys struggle with this skill that we talked about, you know, or this skill, I've got this station over here and I want you working on this, okay? Right. Then everybody's like, oh, OK, cool. But the one person that's like, I can't do this, they're like, oh, OK, I have an out.
Yes. Right?
And that's hugely important as a coach. But as a student, you may not know when the coach is giving that particular feedback to one person, but as a group. Right.
And the other thing, I'll say two more points on the class stuff and then we'll jump to one of you guys about
fanboy.
Fanboy. So
personally, I looked at some overlap.
Is it
like knowing when to talk? Like when you're in a van for a long period of time, knowing when to talk is very important.
True.
But really almost like knowing when to not talk, right?
Right.
Is the better skill.
That is the better skill. I always like tell my daughter, I'm like, read the room.
Yeah.
Read the room. And she'll be like, wait, what's going on? Oh, okay. Yeah. No, well, not having it. So other thing is, I think encouragement is good. There's this. So encouragement, which comes in the form of, I think it's awesome to recognize people and say things like, I believe in you and things like that, instead of, you got this, for everything, just because you're pumped up and you're trying to get everybody else pumped up. It's a very special person who gets to say, you got this, in my opinion, because oftentimes we talk about this again and again, you may be making someone feel bad who's not committed and confident enough to do a jump, or putting them at risk for their safety by constantly just like trying to hype man them for every single thing that you're trying. I've seen that turn out bad more times than good. I used to run a class that had a free intro, and one of the problems I would have is you get random people coming in. I remember I had one student who was just like just crushing courses, and there was another person who was just new to parkour and their experience and their risk tolerance is way lower. And I'm trying to manage all these people, and this guy over here is telling him, he's like, you got it, you can do this jump. And this woman probably would have just shattered both of her ankles in an instant with this jump, I could tell. But he doesn't know, because he hasn't been around enough people to realize, like, he thinks he's encouraging, but what he doesn't know is he's setting this person up for, like, the most likely scenario for injury that I had seen before.
Yep.
And so it's like, no. It's not that I don't want you to encourage your peers and have open communication. It's that you're endangering someone's safety by giving them coaching cues and progressions that I have designed for them to keep them safe. Yes. And you're destroying all that by just trying to be a good friend, right? So that I think when someone's accomplished something, that's the time to give them all the praise in the world and be like, you had it. I knew you had it.
There is a sense of like just a boost that people get when other people are cheering them on. But I don't think that boost is really that good for that person in the long run, right? If you're standing there looking at something and you need confidence to do it, I don't think you're ready for it.
Agreed.
Because you shouldn't be battling the hesitation and the insecurities along with the problem of technique and power and strength. Those are just, they shouldn't be tackled together. Let's be tackled one at a time. And so when someone's facing those together and then the whole crowd is like going and saying, you can do it. Now all of a sudden there's a third tier and it's peer pressure.
And then you come outside of it.
You have to live up to what everyone else is telling you to do. Mm-hmm. If I have it and everyone's telling me I have it, then maybe I should just do it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. You get that feeling. Even I get that feeling, especially since I'm a coach, I'm an owner of the business and people see me and they expect me to be able to do stuff. And so it pulls me out of my head when there's too much of that.
Yeah.
Although working in a bunch of competitions helped me move on from that. But it's like, it's funny, not even doing the comps, but actually just working in the competitions desensitized me to the crowd basically. But so there's that. And then the other point that I want to make is about, we talked about coaching and, I forgot my third point. It was a really good one too.
Yeah. The other thing. So as a student, instead of saying something like, go for it, I think the best scenario, like when I'm as a coach and I'm seeing another student be a really good student to his peers, is when, you know, maybe they're a more advanced student and we're doing a drill that's too easy for them. They avoid doing the skills that they want to do that are harder. So say we're doing front flips and there's a kid who already has front flips and wants to do twisting. Instead of doing twisting, instead of doing harder skills, they're just going to stick with the medium level of the class and they're going to encourage people there. Because the second someone, you know, raises the bar and does a twist or they do a bigger jump or they do a bigger gap, or they run into it, everyone else feels now that their level is like is below and they have to catch up.
Yes.
And it's just one kid who's raising the bar like that. So as an advanced athlete, if you're stuck with a little bit lower group, the best thing that you can do is just stick with the median level of skill and not push everybody up to your level, because it always happens. You'll see them do one or two, three, skills that everyone else is doing, and then they immediately get bored and they try the harder thing. But if you can control that and stay, you know.
The paralysis by performance of peers, the paralysis by peer performance is a real thing.
Spectator. Yeah, the like spectator effect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's having a good time.
It's the number one reason why I for years never trained with like a big group of people, right? And it's a little bit like egotistical to say, but I hated like being one of the better people there, right? Because I've been training parkour for just so long that I've just for a decade was only training with people who were new to parkour, right? There was nobody else except for Justin, right? And then you that like had any parkour experience when I met them. Everybody else was like, I want to get into parkour, and I was their like their road into parkour, right? But I hated it because I would always go out and train and I would want to train something and then everybody would just spectate. Or you'd go to like, you know, the national jams or something like that and everybody would spectate, right? And in a jam setting, that's a little bit different. You train what you're training in a jam setting, right? Like
the median also might be higher.
Yeah, in a jam setting it is. But in a class, the goal is for everybody to start learning, right? So that's not your place to like flex your look how good I am muscles.
Right.
Even if you're a little bit bored, your job there is even as a student, is to try and make as cohesive and as effective a learning environment as possible. And part of that is not pushing or, I guess, pulling up the upper end of what everybody needs to do to feel like they're having fun.
To feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I noticed that too, even with groups of friends who train. And that's probably a good van tip as well. Is just like don't always be crushing it. Share a little bit of the limelight when there's opportunity for attention. And just know, like, if you're in a session where the structure is, like, we do more, like not open gym, but in our overdrive program, we're doing more of those, like, that's essentially sessioning, group sessioning. There still should be a little bit of that, but you're still, I'm less concerned about that there than I am, like, if I have a drill that everyone's doing, let's say that's a cartwheel, and then, or it's like Kong, and then, or a vault, right? So let's say step vault. And then the more advanced students, like, well, I already have my step vaults down, or I already have my cartwheels down. So they start hucking like cartfuls, or they start doing Kongs when we're doing step vaults. They're just like, well, we're doing vaults now, so I picked a vault that I thought was interesting. And you're like, okay, well, not everyone's distracted. They can't focus, and I'm just trying to get them there. And you come in and just like crush it. So it's just, again, learn to read the room. Maybe that's the biggest skill.
Yeah. We've mentioned it too before, but like, it's a bit like when you have an advanced student who's like, oh man, I suck, I'm not good, right? Yes. And then because they don't know the emotional state or the mental state of everybody else in the class, they don't know if there's somebody who's struggling really hard and hears that feedback, or they're working on their step vault or some other fundamental, and then somebody comes in and they throw a Kong, right? Or they're doing like this big, massive Kong. And then that person's like, oh, I thought I was kind of catching up to the class, and I was like able, you know, I started and I was definitely the worst person in this class, and I've been working hard and I felt like I was kind of catching up. Now I realize I'm just super far behind again. Right. And that's so demoralizing to see somebody else just like casually crush it in your class, who's also there at your same level learning from the same coach. Right. And so you may feel like, well, I guess I'll just work on skills that are more interesting or more challenging to me in class. But you may have a pretty detrimental effect to the rest of the group, or one or two particular individuals in that class that are just trying to get to the base level that you feel like you've already got, you know, and that's not the place to flex that.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's far as a student and being someone who's more advanced than, you know, in a class, having that experience before, not particularly anymore. Like, the parkour crowd is definitely way up there beyond me now. But I think it's more fun when I'm doing the same thing as everybody else. When if I'm the only one and I'm outperforming everyone, again, there's just a pressure to impress and to keep that energy up and that like that performance up. I think it's more enjoyable when I can do things that other people are doing and they have fun because, like, oh, it's okay, everybody in the class is doing front flips together in a row, right? Mm-hmm. That to me is more enjoyable, rather than everyone else doing their own thing. It's like, why are we in a class if we're all just doing our own thing?
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think that also what I like to do in those environments that is a bit harder and I think presents as a leadership role is do something that's different, but attainable, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are doing carts and then you decide, okay, if someone goes to do a cartwheel and that person has like a kick flare or they, meaning that not an actual flare, but like, but they just do something different with their body that gives it shape and style.
Yeah.
Cool. Then people are like, oh man, I want to be able to do the cartwheel like you do it. I've heard people say that time and time again. Yeah. They're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, oh, when I go into mine, I just, you know, I turn my hands a little more and it makes it look a little more round offy. You know, as long as you're not doing a setup that needs to for another move, that type of creative liberty I love because it gets people inspired to think, oh, that's something I can do and I can try. I had just posted, actually I had been doing my stretching routines and I was messing around with like putting your hands on the ground because that's a prerequisite for one of the training programs that I'm working on. And then I'm like, oh, well, I could also do one where I just like stand on my hands. And so like I stood on my hands. I put my hands down, stood on my hands. And I started trying to lift my like heels up off the ground. So I was on the balls of my feet, on the palms of my hand. And then I realized quickly that as I started to lean and fall forward, you can't use your hands to help you. Anyway, so that's probably one I wouldn't program in, but I posted a picture of it because I thought it was funny. And then comments were like five people who were like, oh, I just tried this and I can do it. No, I can't do it. I thought I'd be able to do it. And I was like, wait, what? Why? My mind was blown. I was like, what? Why would you try that? Like, oh, cool. I guess it just seemed attainable. It wasn't a crazy progression. Stand on your fingers. So there's value in that. You can inspire people. The other side of the spectrum I want to talk about real quick is if you have so many questions about things that you hold the class up. Remember, the class isn't about you exclusively. It is okay to interrupt and ask some questions.
I think this is a uniquely adult problem for sure.
Oh, dude.
No, there's definitely some, there's a rare kid that does this too.
There's some heady kids.
But mostly it's adults. It's so adorable when kids have it like that though.
The questions are cute.
Yeah.
It's annoying in adults. It's
Wasn't there a little David that used to do that? He would just ask. He'd be like, so the angle on this, is it more like a 45 or is it a 90? And you'd be like, that's cute. Do the thing. So
it's like, why don't you give it a shot and find out?
Right. But I struggle like this too, especially when I first started learning dance and the entire class would be flowing. And I'm like thinking to myself, there's no way I have these steps right. No one else has these steps right. We need to stop and figure this out, right? So I've totally been that guy before, and I had to just be like, all right, you just need to shut up and just, if you can follow the flow, go with the flow, unless it's like a safety risk or you feel like you've got it down so well that you really need a technique. Because many times just doing a dozen reps is going to give you an understanding of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the answer to improving your technique is just doing more and letting your body figure it out and not do one and then ask you a question.
Most things in parkour, that's the rule of thumb you should just
assuming you're not and injuring yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean the techniques that have a high risk are not things you should be learning.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like those aren't drills, those are skills, right? Mm-hmm. You don't drill skills are the result of drills.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's like the drills should always be things that I have as low risk as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if your drill has high risk, then it's not a drill, that's a skill.
Yeah, but if so, I guess we get the feeling like I don't feel like that looks right when I do it. Maybe you should do some more. But if it's more like, I guess, like what I'm imagining is like, oh, when people are like, hey, when I do it, it doesn't look like him or her.
Yeah,
that's a real cool app, Colin. Colin's got a time app that he just flashes at us, large bold letters.
I love what I'm looking at though, because it's the same. Oh, that's the current time.
Ten.
I thought that was like 10 minutes and 57 seconds. And I was like,
we're trying to keep it tighter, guys.
I was like, 57 seconds has been a long time now.
Yeah.
I get it now. Okay. Sweet.
Hey, Justin. So now we're on speed round because we got to wrap up here in speed a couple round. Minutes. We're trying to keep these meat and taters tight and fun.
Taters? What's taters?
Taters? So van life. What's your advice for living in a parkour van?
I think van life is because it's peers. You're traveling with peers. And so you need to keep your advice very specific. And if you give someone advice that's a peer, it better have results. Like you have a very short span of when you can tell your peers what to do and how to do it. This is in video games as well. you're playing video games. You only tell your teammate, hey, I need you to be on my back once or twice before they're sick of your advice. And so in van life,
it's the exact thing.
Yeah, it gets very unfun quickly because it's like, all right, well, if your advice isn't fixing my problem right now, then clearly I don't really know if your advice is going to help.
Credibility.
Yeah, right? It's just like, someone needs to fix, and then you say it, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, that was wrong. I'll give them another piece of advice. And it just snowballs like that.
Isn't that a cool
layer? You like layer bullshit, and then you realize that the last layer was bullshit. So you're like, I should add some actual, you know, substance. Dirt, some good stuff on top of that. And then you realize that's bullshit too. And now you just got two layers of bullshit. And then you're like, I can't dig myself out of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned this very, like on van life, I learned this. Like it was just like, all right, like if I'm not 100% certain that this is going to fix someone's problem, I need to just be quiet. And just train with them.
Yeah, and here's a pro tip around, like, I'm not telling you guys anything new.
You can.
But around, like, working with peers, whether that's, like, having an enjoyable, you know, raid or a training session, is, like, if you want to see something different from your peers in terms of how they are interacting with you or encouraging you, the best way to do it is to just be, like, hey man, I really liked the way you covered me when we pushed on that other team, right? We're talking about Apex Legends right now, right? Like if you rush on a team, and it's got to be genuine. Your teammate can't be just looting off in the field. They'll know that you're just
now.
Like,
I know you're talking about me.
Yeah, they know that you're just like tongue in cheek stabbing at them. But right, but like if they were there, you're just like, hey man, I really like nice job going around the left, or nice job like pushing with the team with me, right? And that positive reinforcement is always going to do better rather than being like, Instead of going around the left, the right would have been better, right?
So I love that, and I think that the vast majority of encouragement should be post-mortem. I think it's after, after you've done, wait for it to be done, and then, you know, then just be super encouraging. And then on the flip side of it, if someone does come to you and they're like, man, dude, I really love that twist at the end, it was good. Don't just be like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I didn't really think about it.
Oh yeah.
When I give someone encouragement, know that I'm just sharing the love, right? Mm-hmm. I probably did like it, but my intention is to make you feel good. You just say thanks or something. Don't, I mean, you can talk about it if it excites you, but don't blow it off and just graceful be like, oh yeah, no, just like everybody does that. I just was doing it as for breakfast.
Yep. Yeah. That's compliments shouldn't roll off. Yeah. Like they should be taken in. Right?
That falls and that should be visible. Like that self-deprecating, right? Like just being like, well, I felt like, you know, man.
So describe that.
Left hand wasn't in the right spot.
And you can critique, just do it with a smile. I think you're smiling that. Maybe
yeah, you can, but at the same time, like I don't want to hear your freaking internal narrative.
That's
keep
true.
Keep that to yourself. If you want to critique yourself, I'm all for it. I critique myself every day, right? But do it to yourself. I don't want to hear it, right? Nope. Like if somebody is like, hey, I really liked the way that you did that vault. Right? Instead of being like, oh yeah, but I was really trying to go for it like this, and I think it'll look better like this. Unless you're wanting that person to give you feedback on like what they think is a stylistic approach or an adaptation of that move, just keep it to yourself and be like, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. I worked hard on that.
Yeah. It's good.
You know? But that being said, if you do complimenting of like a parkour line that somebody does, right? When you're filming or you're out training, like, instead of doing that vault, maybe you should try this, right? There's the advice. Unsolicited advice is never a good thing, right? And instead just be like, I really liked your run-up, right? Which may be like, it feels
sometimes
gimmicky
there
to
are
think
good
about,
run-ups.
But good That's run-ups, true. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Think of, like, any line that Callum Powell does.
Yeah.
Like, all of his run-ups are like, I mean, you can see him. And in his clips, like,
bro, his run-ups can't be wrong.
And then he goes for it, and you're like, every step was exactly where it needed to be on his run-up, right?
Yeah.
So run-ups can absolutely be a thing that you compliment. Or you can be like, whoa, that was really cool. I like the way that you did that. Even though there might have been 10 moves in that whole line, complimenting that one. Because how many times when you're filming a line do you change the individual sections? Mm-hmm. Hundreds of times, right? You're like, no, I didn't do that.
I like the third one. You should stick with that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then of course, when that person's going through to like revise their line or add stuff, they're going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to keep this part because I got a compliment on it.
Yeah.
Consciously or subconsciously, they're going to be like, that part looked good because I got a compliment on it. So I'm going to work around that point for my line. Right. That's being a good peer. That's being an encouraging and productive peer because you're not giving them feedback, but you kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that part, keep that part. But you don't have to say that. You're just like, that was cool. I like that cup.
So be encouraging. Try to keep compliments for post-mortem.
Yeah.
No, read the room. Don't be the person on I'm not saying don't, but try not to be the person on either sides of those spectrums, right? And allow your peers the opportunity to learn. And remember, it's not all about you kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. So we got to wrap this episode up. Anything else that you guys have to say, because we're just a little bit over. If we're good? Good?
Yeah,
okay. Good. All right. So, again, you can listen to us on
Spotify, Apple, YouTube, pretty much anywhere. Anchor. Do we use Anchor still?
Yeah, we do.
We still use Anchor?
Yeah, we do. It's the...
I haven't really played much with Anchor, but if you're listening, check it out. It's kind of cool, I guess.
It's a good tool.
But, but you can watch us on YouTube, too, which is kind of cool. You can see all of our gestures and all of our pretty faces. Or
animation.
You can listen to us on the go on your drive.
That's right. All right. Thanks, you guys.